So we have a Financial Peace University going on at the same time in the multi-purpose room, and they've had a great response, a number of people there, so that's exciting to see. But I'm excited for people that are here too. And so we'll open the scripture together, and I hope this speaks to your heart. Pastor Slagle asked me to speak. He's had a pretty busy weekend already, and so he made the call to the bullpen, and I'm ready to go. I've been stretching and warming up, so I think I can do this. I was actually, I'm supposed to preach next week, but I got confused on my weeks, and so I prepared this week anyway. So I think it all worked out. The Lord, what is it, the Lord helps small children and fools, or whatever the saying is. the Lord helped me out, so it all works seamlessly. So the Lord was good. All right, if you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. At some point I will finish 1 Timothy. But I still have a whole chapter to go. I don't seem to be making much progress. Maybe this is my chance then. I can, this week and next week, I can get some of this done. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you don't have a Bible with you, there's a black Bible in the pew rack in front of you. It'd be page 1674. 1674. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's pray together. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, as we consider the scriptures, we pray that you would use them. May the Holy Spirit give us understanding and clarity. Look at your word. Help me not to cloud its meaning. But I pray that we'd be open and honest with the text and that you'd speak to me and through me and be with my audience and that you would help them and that we'd all draw closer to you this evening through your word. And we ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Working for a good boss is easy. When your boss is nice and considerate and organized, this is not work at all. I appreciate I have a couple bosses right here. Sometimes I feel like I'm stealing a paycheck because they make life so easy for us around here, right? It's like this, when I make a mistake, they should have been harder on me or something. They just help me pick up the pieces. It's so kind and loving. I thought, where's this been my whole life? Okay, I can think of some previous jobs I could have used this support. If you have a good boss, Your job is easy, okay? However, if you have a bad boss, boy, that can make life tough, can it? Or if you have a cranky boss, that is no fun. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but maybe some of you here have bosses either in the past you've worked for or presently you work for, and it's just not a lot of fun. I've had this experience. I've had some bosses that I was happy when they were no longer my boss. Now, some of the problems I brought on myself, looking back, I probably could have handled things better. And so I don't blame them for friction. Many of the things, probably more things are my fault than their fault looking back, if I'm honest with myself. But the kind of boss that you have, okay, it's easy to submit to a good boss that you agree with. It's tough to submit with a leader that you're not in agreement with or you don't always come from the same point of view. I think about someone who was a good example of working with a boss that's difficult. And I think of a man named Daniel. Daniel is carried off into captivity by the Babylonians. He's carried off from his homeland, from his roots, and yet he brings his belief in God with him as he goes to the very pagan country. And he's promoted, and he always follows God. Never forgets about God. He always has integrity. God blesses him. People recognize the gifts that God has given him. He's interpreting dreams. He's a natural for leadership, and he's promoted. Possibly he was there for as many as 5 different kings. Different administrations would turn over, and he would remain in power because he was someone that was so trustworthy. And so it comes to a king, Darius, who he's very close with, and they have a great relationship. And so some men come to Darius and flatter him and say, everyone should worship you for this period of time. And Darius is, doesn't see what they're really trying to get Daniel because Daniel prays 3 times a day, and they see how Daniel worships God, and they hate Daniel, his success, they're jealous of him, and so they flatter Darius, and Darius, he's such a sap in this story, unfortunately. He falls for it. Yeah, everyone should worship me, I'm so great, I'm the king, and we got Daniel. So Darius, because he set the law of the Medes and Persians can't be changed, he's got to throw Daniel into a lion's den, and of course God shuts the lion's jaws, and we imagine Daniel laying with the lions as pillows because they become very gentle under God's leadership. And in the morning, Darius can't sleep all night. You know, his good friend Daniel, what did he do to him? He feels terrible. He feels awful. In the morning, he calls for Daniel, and Daniel said, "I'm here. Live forever, O king." And this is such a great testimony, the way that Daniel cared for Darius. And Darius really cared for Daniel. And even when Daniel's boss makes a bad decision, you ever had a boss that made a bad decision? Have you ever had a boss that made such a bad decision that it forced you to be thrown into a lion's den? No. I mean, well, I had to sit in a big bus full of junior hires once, but not the same, right? Not the same. Although it was harrowing. They were very loud. And yet, Daniel has this relationship with his boss. And what happens? His boss recognizes the one true God as a result of his testimony. What a testimony, right? He's not angry. He's not bitter. You know, sometimes we think about our lives and we like to compartmentalize, right? So I come to church, I'm a great Christian. I go home, I'm a great Christian. But let me ask you this. What about when you go to work? What are you like there? And do you show Christianity in how you treat your boss? And are you trying to hide things from him? Are you trying to hide things from her, possibly? Does this extend to every area of our life? If we're supposed to be salt and light, if we're supposed to act like Jesus and point others to Christ, that involves your boss and how you treat your boss. So our passage is 1 Timothy 6. Now, in this context, Paul has written to Timothy in chapter 5, and he writes to him about showing respect. And so he talks about widows and true widows and honoring those in their testimony. And then he talks about elders. If there's a specific elder that's been effective and been faithful in the ministry, you should show respect to that elder. I can imagine his audience. Okay, widows, yes, they've been through a lot. I should respect them. Elders or pastors, yes, I can see this. And then he gets to chapter 6, and he says, guess who else you have to respect? And they're like, oh, okay, who is this? You should honor your masters. Imagine a church full of slaves hearing this. Honor my master. This is going to be difficult. So 1 Timothy 6, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefits. These things teach and exhort. What I'd like to communicate with you this evening is, believers should respect their boss. Believers should respect their boss. That's what the... I could be done right there. That'd be the whole message. Believers should respect their boss. Boy, that's easy to think about in concept, but actually doing it, that can be difficult, right? I want you to turn to someone near you, and I want you to tell them, you should respect your boss. You ready? Turn to someone near you and say it. Go ahead. Did it work, you think? Yes, you should respect your boss. This is what the Bible commands. Now, on days when I have plenty of sleep, on days when it's not very stressful at work, you know, this isn't hard. On the days when I agree, on the days maybe my boss comes in and I'm not going to say which one here, but it could be either one of these guys. Maybe they come in and they're cheerful. Like, that's a lot easier, right? I don't really have hard days here. Not in that area, I don't think. I really have it pretty easy. I'm going to think of a previous boss here. I had a previous boss who used to come in and be all upset. We never knew what it was about, okay? So just imagine this boss coming in and they're all upset. Boy, that's going to be a lot tougher, isn't it? It's going to be a lot harder to show Christ. But yet, if I can show Christ in that situation, that's really going to stand out to people around me. You know, even in difficult times, this person showing Christ, there's something different about them. They must not be living for this life based on their attitude, because there's nothing here to make them happy. And this will cause people to truly consider Christ and bring him honor and glory. So, believers should respect their boss. This is what Paul tells Timothy. Okay? Now, he gives two reasons why believers should respect their boss. Reason number one, showing respect to an oppressive boss brings honor to Christ. I'll repeat myself for those writing this down. I can't write that fast too, and I try to write everything down, and I didn't do a PowerPoint, so here it is again. Showing respect to an oppressive boss brings honor to Christ. Now, to get into this discussion, we got to talk about slavery, okay? This passage is marred with the topic of slavery. Now, the word service here has the idea of service from a slave. And the root word is literally to bind. People that are bound to a boss. These people that are in bondage, okay, they are slaves. Now, Paul's writing to a culture that's in ancient Rome, and a large percentage of the population is slaves. The bottom slice of the population is slaves. So it's a very substantial part of the Roman Empire is in slavery. And slaves have few rights. Some of them became slaves because of economic hardship. They would trade a number of years of service for some money to pay some bills. This would have been a small percentage of them. Some slaves were perhaps from another kingdom that Rome had conquered and enslaved. They could have been slaves that way. Probably the majority of people that are slaves, though, at this time would have been second generation. Their parents were slaves. They were bought and sold, so now the kids are slaves. So this is all the only life that they've ever known. Okay? So for the most part, most of them are not slaves. Now, not all the slaves were treated equally. So when we have this discussion with Paul, there's a lot of nuance that he's dealing with. Some of them actually are treated very well. A handful of them are treated very well. And some of them wouldn't want to be free from slavery because they had safety, security, a place to live, a job, and maybe they wouldn't get that somewhere else. So some of those people are really content. I'm going to say the majority of them are probably mistreated and are unfairly treated and are bought and sold like property. And this is really not fitting for someone made in God's image, right? And this is not treating people with the dignity and respect of someone that's made in God's image. So this is a wrong thing. Slaves are told where to go. They're told what to do. Decisions are made about their family that they have no control over. What kind of food they're going to eat. Where you're going to work. How hard you're going to work. When you're going to work. And so Paul is talking about this situation of slavery. Now, Paul's not promoting slavery. Other passages he gets more in depth than he does in this passage. But he is dealing with the reality in that culture that's built on slavery. So this society is built on slavery. Maybe if we were living back then, we tried to start a political movement and stop it. This is not a democracy. They can't go to the polls and vote slavery out. And so there's not a lot of options. This is a very difficult situation that Paul's dealing with, a very complex. So just to say, we're dealing with slavery, but we're not endorsing slavery. Okay? Now, imagine in this first century church, imagine that you're a believer in this church and you are a slave. So you don't have a lot of freedom or rights. And so he says you're a slave and a slave under the yoke. Now the yoke is something you put on oxen or a farm animal. So he's doubling down on the fact that your life is difficult, right? You're a slave under the yoke, okay? You have a heavy-handed boss, most likely, was referring to. Okay, now how do you feel about your master, slave under the yoke? How excited are you about your master? Do you enjoy people treating you like property? I don't think any of us want to be treated like property. Can you do anything about it? Probably not. You don't have a lot of options. So, what do we do with things that we don't like when we don't have options? We tend to complain, don't we? This is the natural response. This was ancient Israel in the wilderness. That was like their hobby, right? They were all masters of complaining. Ugh. And when you're complaining, who's the person you're going to complain about? Well, you're going to complain about your boss, right? Man, why does she do this or why does he do this? It's easy to have a bad attitude. You know, why do they use me? My boss, she has all this money. Why don't they pay me something? Or, I should get some breaks. You know, my friend over there, you know, this person's also a slave, and look what they have compared to what I have. They have a nicer place to live. They get better meals than I get. And it's easy just to focus on the negatives and to be discontent. But the Bible commands us to be respectful, even in difficult times. The Bible commands us to obey the authorities that God has put over us. God knows that they're over us. God put them there. We need to show respect to them. And so, as long as they're asking us to do something that's ethical, We're obligated to do it. God works through our submission to that authority. Here's some scriptures that kind of talk about this. Colossians 3:22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service, not just so that it looks good, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Don't just go through the motions. You should actually be working at your job to make your boss successful. Don't just do something that makes him look, that makes people think that you're going through it, even when they're not looking. Singleness of heart, with sincerity. Ephesians 6:5-7. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." We're serving Christ, not just serving people. We're exemplifying the Christian life in this situation, in this place. Now, imagine this servant has a boss that's very heavy-handed, and imagine that this servant shows the fruit of the spirits: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. Imagine the statement it makes to this boss, okay? And this boss says, you know, "I come in here, I'm cranky, and they're cheerful. I come in here, and I talk them down, and they're working hard. I'm so confused. I'm so confused by this. And they can't understand Christianity." This is something that an unsaved boss is going to want to know. This can give you an opportunity to witness. This is the chance to show contrast between us that are truly believers and the world. And we don't live for this life. This isn't about this life. This is a chance to show our true faith in God. And this is something that's real and tangible to people. Who likes work? You know, if you really loved your work, they wouldn't have to pay you. So on some level, it's always difficult. Ever since the Garden of Eden, you're supposed to sweat. You know, people tell me, "Oh, this job, it stresses me out." Which job doesn't have stress in it, right? I think we all know what this is about. But to face the difficulty and to have a respectful attitude towards authority, this is something that will point to Christ and bring his name respect. And this will something that will cause people to look to Christ. Now, no one here is a slave. I don't think anyone here is a slave. I saw in the news not too long ago, there was a player in the NFL that said he felt like a slave. And the guy was making $15 million a year. I thought, if that's slavery, I'm in. But maybe we feel like slaves, but at the end of the day, you do get to go home. There's exits in the doors. You know, they do pay you. So hopefully none of us are truly slaves. But isn't it also true, though, that we do have bosses that can be overbearing? Do you ever feel like your boss is overbearing? Or maybe you have a job and you can't quit. One job that I had friction with a boss. Now, a lot of this I brought on myself. Looking back on it, I don't blame this man. And I wanted to quit, but I needed the insurance, so I didn't do it. I think that was God's way of making me learn from the situation. I think if I had quit, I never would have learned the things that I learned. Now, I learned those lessons the hard way. If I had been wise, I wouldn't have been in this situation, but sometimes the Lord puts us in hard places with work for a reason. And sometimes we can't quit because he wants us there. And, you know, when God closes the door, you might as well be cheerful because you're not going anywhere. Right? There's no point in complaining. It's not going to help. So none of us are slaves, but we all have bosses, don't we? And we need to show respect to them, even when they're less than gracious to us. Here's two questions for you, just by way of application. Are you respectful towards your boss? Are you respectful towards your boss? Do you treat them with respect? I hope that you're not quick to point out a mistake. Ugh, guess what I caught him doing? Guess what she said yesterday? That doesn't make any sense. That was dumb. Why is that person in charge? Hopefully this isn't our attitude. Do you ever thank them for the stuff that they do? You know, being a boss is a lot of work. It's a lot of stress. You have to worry about people around you. You have to make sure that they're taken care of. And as much as you may or may not like your boss, you know, they do make sure you get paid. If they did a truly bad job, your company would go out of business and you wouldn't get any pay at all. And that's the least fun, is having no job. That's worse than stressful job, right? No job, because no job doesn't pay the bills. And so they're doing something for you. Can you thank them? Do you ever thank them? Are you respectful to them? Question number two, are you willing to follow your boss? Are you willing to follow your boss? I respect them a lot, but then I do the opposite. No, you're not respectful at all. If you're doing the opposite, you're not respecting them. If you're respectful, you need to follow them. Follow their leadership. Now, sometimes they do things that you may not understand. It's okay to respectfully dialogue. I'm not going to put them on the spot. I'm not going to try to make them look bad. But if you want to pull your boss aside quietly and talk to them, you know, maybe this would be better. Go ahead and do this. But what happens when you disagree with them and they don't do what you say? Then what? Are you willing to follow what they've decided? It's easy to follow when you agree. What about when you disagree? So one of the places I worked, when I was in seminary, I worked at a place called Fiberline. And this is one such place. I had a few things with my boss. I had a little bit of a beef with him. And one of the older seminary guys took me aside and told me, because I said, some of this stuff could be done way better, in my opinion. You know, I was 22, so I think I knew everything by then, maybe. I said, this could be done much better. And this is, I remember this to this day. One of the older seminary guys, I think he's a pastor now. He was 29, so anyway. In seminary years, he was very old. He pulled me aside and he said, Micah, no one's paying you to think. You think about that. I said, okay, I'll go blow this into the garbage. I thought, they're wasting this product. Anyway, he told me. So I would say to you this, when you and your boss disagree, they're not paying you for your thinking. They're paying you to follow, right? So let's follow. Whether we agree or disagree, that's their problem, right? If things go wrong, what do you say? We followed you, right? Now, I have some alternative ideas. not saying it disrespectfully, but at the end of the day, it's on them, right? They're in charge. It's my job to follow. If I'm following, then I'm doing what they're saying, and that's their problem. Okay, I think we try to think too much. We need to stop thinking. When it's time to obey, just obey. Don't make it we make it way too. Life is not that complicated. Okay, if I'm not the one making the decision, I need to follow and let the Lord sort out what happens. All right. So hopefully you're following. You're willing to work hard to follow your boss. You have a servant spirit, even when the boss is cranky. A true servant is someone who doesn't mind being treated like a servant. Hope you're someone that's willing to follow. I hope that you're respectful to those in authority. All right, that's point number one. Point number two. So, two reasons why believers should respect their bosses. We talked about showing respect to an oppressive boss brings honor to Christ. And number two, showing respect to a believing boss provides service to a fellow Christian. Showing respect to a believing boss provides service to a fellow Christian. Verse number two, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefits. These things teach and exhort. All right. So you want to talk about unusual situations? You think that we have diversity in our church, a range of people, opinions, political views? Boy, we run the gamut here. Just imagine that you're in the First Baptist Church of Ephesus. This is what I'm going to call it. The First Baptist Church of Ephesus, okay? You're in, and Pastor Timothy goes up to speak. Now, imagine this, that you're one of the many slaves in the Roman Empire, and you get saved, and you join the church. And imagine that you decide that you have some singing ability, and so what do you do if you have singing ability? You join the choir. And imagine you're up there singing in the choir, and standing next to you is another fellow believer, and imagine that fellow believer is your master, who's very hard on you. Imagine how this would have felt. But this is what you had, the first century church. You have a whole mix of people. You have all kinds of diversity. Imagine master and slave standing side by side singing in the choir. What do you think that was like for the slave? You think that was a little awkward? Oh, imagine this too. So we have a diversity of believers. Imagine that you're a slave, but you're someone that shows great initiative. You're someone full of the Holy Spirit. And so at your church, they see you as a leader, and so they make you a deacon. Okay? Imagine that you're a slave, but when you come to church, you're a deacon. Now imagine they're like, we need to have deacon care groups here. Who should we have? Who would be really close to your master? Oh, you know what, brother so-and-so? Why don't you have your master be in your care group? You can pray for him, check on him when he's not feeling well, because you're right there anyway. And plus, you can't go very far, you know? This would be so easy for you. Imagine this, okay? Now imagine that you're this slave, and okay, maybe Pastor Timothy talks you into this arrangement. And you're the deacon for your master, okay? You're praying for him. You're helping him. Maybe his mother's a widow indeed, like it mentions, and you're communicating and providing supplies for her. Now imagine that church, you're good friends, you sing in the choir together, and then when it comes to Monday morning, you're at work, and he's all over you. And you think, man, where was the cool boss I had on Sunday? Just imagine how hard this would be. Wouldn't this be difficult? So you guys think that your job is hard. You have nothing on the First Baptist Church of Ephesus. All right. So the situation that the people are in, you have believers in the church full of slaves and masters. They're all in the same church. They're all working together. And so some of the people that were slaves, I can imagine them looking at their masters who are saved, and they're like, why? Why do you treat me like this? Why do I have to be your slave? Is this really necessary? Now, many of the believers did free their slaves, but not all of them. And remember, Paul's dealing with a difficult situation here, and Timothy, because so much of their society was designed and set up for slavery, and some of them didn't have anywhere to go. And so it wasn't always a simple situation, what to do, how to fix this problem. But the thing that was simple is what the slaves could do, and having a respectful spirit of following. And so Paul tells those slaves, even though your boss is a believer, you still got to be respectful. You still got to follow. And why? Because your boss is also a believer, just like you. They're also partakers of the benefits. They're part of the same kingdom that you're a part of. Someday when you get to heaven, they'll sit next to you, just like in choir. And they'll still be a part of your prayer group. You need to show service to a fellow believer. Now, he warns them about despising them or looking down on them. It'd be easy for this person to feel despised. You know, and I don't know what it is exactly. If I have a boss that's an unbeliever, and they're not always fair with me or patient with me, I think to myself, yeah, that's how my boss is. Because, you know, they're not really born again. They don't have the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. So they're not going to be quite showing the love of Christ the way others might. And we can understand that. Now, imagine that your master is a believer and they're not very patient with you. What are you going to think? Oh, he should know better. She should know better. There's no reason why they talk to me that way. It's easy to become critical of other believers. When in fact, as believers, we all struggle to live up to who Christ is. And so at some point, we all need to give each other grace, don't we? Because at some point, we all fall short. But it's so easy to be critical of other believers because we should know better, right? And we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so even when dealing with bosses, he says, okay, your boss is a believer, you got to be patient. You got to be kind. I know they're a believer, and you expect more from them, but even if it's a fellow believer, that when you're helping them, you're helping a fellow Christian. The person that you're helping, that you're serving, someday you'll be in the kingdom with them. They're fellow partakers. This is what you need to know. This is what you need to teach other people to do, to show this same love and kindness. Well, of the people that are here, I don't know what percentage of you have bosses that are born-again believers. I don't know if it's, well, I know one, me, or one, but there's anyone else here who has a boss that's a believer. But I would say to you, if you have a believing boss, you need to show them grace and kindness, okay? I hope that you're showing them the same respect you would show to an unbeliever that made mistakes, and that you're demonstrating Christ to the people around you through your attitude. All right, so let's wrap this thing up here. We're to conclude. You know, what is your reputation at work towards authority? How do people see you? Are you someone that can't wait to share the gossip of something the boss did that was right or wrong, or something they shouldn't have said or done? Are you someone that goes to the boss when there's a problem and lets them know, as opposed to waiting for them to embarrass themselves? Do you look out for them and how people see them? When people attack the boss unfairly, what do you say? You just, yeah, they're no good. Or do you say something? You know, that's not really fair. Or do you say, like, you know, maybe you should go talk to them. I think there's more to it than what you're realizing. Do you care about how your boss is treated? Are you respectful of them? Do people see Christ in how you treat them? Or is it something that causes them to blaspheme God's name? How do you treat your boss? Do you have any grace? If your boss is a believer, do you show grace to that boss? Are you patient with them? My prayer for you this week is that as we go back to our places of employment, whether your boss is a believer or an unbeliever, that you'll show Christ-likeness and a spirit of a servant in the way that you treat your boss, realizing the burdens that they have, praying for them, helping them, that others would see Christ and Christ would be magnified. Let's pray.